welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, I do believe I'm right. I have 10 minutes. That's not a complaint. That's fine. I can do it in 10 minutes. I can't. I can introduce the title and I'll do that today. I really... Well, I'm stirred all the while. I guess I took seriously a responsibility to feed the flock and shepherd the flock. And the days we're living in are on the outside, and I'm thankful I'm looking from the inside outside, as you are able to, pretty perilous and not pleasant as far as living in is. But thank God for Christ. Thank God for being able to be part of the church, the body of Christ, the redeemed ones, the called out ones, called out from this world of sin, this world without hope, this world that has no way to turn and nowhere to turn. And it's out of that that you hear me talking recently about faith and things in that area. And it's in that vein that I want to start today. I'm only starting today. I don't think we'll even get there next week, but we will finish it. I want to speak upon having a sound mind. Having a sound mind. If you have your Bible, and it says this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, and the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Hallelujah. God has not given us the spirit of fear. He's talking about the redeemed. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of power. The spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind. Oh, I'd love to get stuck on, but let me just make some observations about that. Why is God saying this? How is God able to make a statement like that? He's talking to the redeemed. He's talking to those who are born again. The reason He's able to make a statement like that, because for the born again believer, without going into all the scriptures, Christ lives in us. Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, that lives in us. He has not given to you and I, who are born again, the spirit of fear. Fear cannot touch us. Fear cannot harm us. Fear cannot accomplish its objective in the believer. And yet so often, seemingly is able to. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why? Because it's the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. It's not your ability. It's not what you can work up into your thinking, into your mind. It's who dwells within you and what that means to you and me, and consequently to the way we live our lives every day. And what happens in our lives every day. I'll tell you what it is. It's more than conquerors. Glory to God. Is that awesome? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. You know, a sound mind is a total opposite to an unsound mind. You know what the Greek word is for that word, a sound mind? The Greek word for that is a disciplined mind. The word discipline means to be trained, to be changed. A mind that doesn't function the way it used to function. A mind that has an ability to do anything and everything because it's a sound mind. Well, a sound mind is a mind that's disciplined. And by the way, that word disciplined comes from the word disciple. And a disciple, in our context, is a Christian is a follower of Jesus. You know what Jesus said? He said, follow me. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said to the fishermen, they were his disciples mostly at that time, he said, you follow me and I will make you not people who catch fish out of the water, but I will enable you to catch men and catch women for the kingdom of God. How does that get accomplished? By following him. I have, and probably you have, but in my earlier days, it was necessary for me to go through job shadowing. I had to learn by following the person that knew what it was all about. And as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are those that follow him. We just watch his every movement. The disciples followed him and asked him questions as they saw him time and time again do things which are absolutely impossible to the natural man. They were followers of him, but they still couldn't do the things he was doing. The Bible says what makes the difference then and today is that we have a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I can't. Oh, I'm afraid to. Oh, embarrassment. All comes under fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power. What does Acts 1:8 say? Jesus said just as he was going up, he said, tarry at Jerusalem. For after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive dunamis, that Greek word for supernatural power. And you shall be my witnesses. My witnesses, what does that mean? They will be able to see through you that you are followers of me because you are able to live a life the same as I live. That means doing the things I do, overcoming the obstacles that I overcome. Hallelujah. A sound mind. Having a sound mind is important. A lot of Christians are warring a warfare. Warring a battle against unbelief. Trying continually to walk in belief. And when I use the word belief in the Christian context of the Bible, I'm talking about a belief which in turn means that there is nothing impossible to you and me that believe. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. When Christ came into our lives, we weren't just getting the freedom of passing from death to life, from this planet to make heaven our home without us being worthy of it of ourselves, but because Jesus Christ himself paid the supreme price for the world. God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him will never perish, have everlasting life. He didn't only accomplish heaven for us, but he accomplished for us heaven on earth. The very prayer that Jesus taught, which was the prayer we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it was really the disciples' prayer. He was teaching the disciples how to pray. In other words, he was teaching the disciples what to pray for. And in the Lord's Prayer, he started to teach them this way. Say, Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me ask you a question as individuals. Is there anything impossible in heaven? I don't think so. And yet we Christians, we find this, sometimes it's just too hard to reach up and put my foot 18 inches above where it normally rests. I'm being facetious there a little bit. But it doesn't matter what comes our way, our starting point is this: I am more than a conqueror, because Christ Jesus lives inside of me. I can do all things. For those that know it, I'm quoting the scriptures. I can do all things through Christ. I don't have the power, but he lives in me, you see. He's given me his word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in everything I set myself to do. I'm never alone. The strength of my Savior is mine. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of a sound mind, a disciplined mind. My mind doesn't suddenly curl up, give up, throw up the hands in despair. My mind doesn't do that. Why? Because it's a renewed mind. It's a renewed mind. What's it been renewed with? Well, that's the question. That's the question. The real question is, how do we renew our mind? As I've said, people, so many Christians are battling against unbelief. They're praying for faith and never arriving. They're speaking unbelief every day and struggling for faith at the same time. How will that work? How can you speak unbelief, act unbelief, and in all of your attempts to get faith operating in your life, really expect it to happen? Unbelief cancels faith. Unbelief is the opposite of belief. You don't need me to communicate that. It does. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. A sound mind. A sound mind. Can we put up, because I want to talk about the mind. Your enemy and my enemy is above here. It's the mind. Can we put up Romans 12, verse 1 and 2? And Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. This is where it starts. Church, listen to me. This is where it starts. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. That word reasonable in the Greek is sensible. If you have any sense at all, in other words, you will yield your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your sensible or reasonable service. And that you be not conformed to this world, but you'll be transformed. You know the word there, transformed, is the same word that was used in Matthew 17, verse 2, I think it is, where it spoke of Jesus being transfigured. That's exactly the same word. Jesus was transfigured. In other words, they went there and they saw the man who they knew, who they fellowship with every day. There he was, just as you see in me. But now something happened. He was transfigured. It wasn't just a man standing there. The glory of God rested upon him. The brilliance of that glory was almost too much for them to be able to handle. That's the same word that is being used in Romans chapter 12, when it says that we are to be transformed, not conformed. I set myself a long time ago, and I'm still on that journey, but I'm a nice way along it. I want to be further. That I was wanting to be transformed. I wanted to be evidently a new creation. Praise God. But it begins with what the scripture says firstly, and it says this, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your sensible service. You know, I could say a lot of things about this, but time... Well, let me finish that thought. This lump of flesh is the biggest enemy you and I have. But if you will say that it's a sensible thing for me to do, I'm going to crucify this flesh. I'm going to put it under and start to work to do that. Then you start to release yourself to be able to function in the works of the Spirit of God. The biggest enemy you have is this, because every sense comes through this body. Every carnal sense, every appetite, every lustful thought, every lustful desire, every ambitious thought outside of God, it all comes through this body. And what we have to do is be able to bring this body under subjection. The Bible says that Paul says, I will die daily. What's he talking about? Dying to this flesh. Being able to say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. When we can take that first step, and it doesn't just happen by a raising of a hand in a service or something like that, it's something that starts it way in here. I want you, Lord. I want you more than life. Have any of you tasted what it is to hunger and thirst after righteousness? I don't mean hunger and thirst after more money, better position, nicer home. Hunger. You know what it is to hunger? You desire. Food. I need food. Thirst. Oh, I'm parched. The rich man just said to Abraham, just get Lazarus to dip his hand in some water and come and touch my tongue and it will parch my thirst. Whoa! Do you think that would do much good if he did for long? To hunger, and the scripture says, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's God's way. That's where it starts. What am I talking about? And I'm closing now because I'm turning. But what am I talking about? That's where it starts. Where what starts? We're coming to the place of having a sound mind starts.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.